Welcome to Remote Control, Variety's TV podcast. I'm Deborah Birnbaum. Every week, we'll bring you conversations with some of the best and brightest in television, working behind and in front of the camera. On today's episode, we're talking to Julia Roberts and Sam Esmail about their new series for Amazon, Homecoming. Stay tuned. I'm Deborah Birnbaum. I'm here with Sam Esmail and Julia Roberts.
Hi.
Congratulations on Homecoming.
Thanks. We're excited.
You ready to show it to the world?
We are.
Yes, we really are.
Yeah, we really are, yeah. Now we're chomping at the bit to have the world see it.
We don't want to know all the secrets.
Right.
I want to know all the secrets.
It's hard to keep a secret.
Yeah, it is.
But that's why we have each other.
I'm sort of amazed. We just came from the panel at TCA. You guys have this great chemistry together. Was that instantaneous between the two of you?
It kind of was. I mean, honestly, the first time we talked to one another was over Skype. And I was in New York. It was 2 weeks before my wedding. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
And then we talked about work. But we just knew we were just...
We had a... There was a... And yes. It was like alchemy. There was repartee. It was...
Right.
Instant.
We're just friends.
Yeah.
More than anything.
And he was so funny because I said, I'd really like for you to direct all these episodes. And Sam goes, oh, okay. Well, we could do that. Or we could do something like, and he sort of presented this other thing. And he goes, or we could do something like this. And I said, okay. Well, I'd like for you to direct all the episodes. Okay, well, let me work on that. And so when we finished talking, we had this great conversation, and my husband says, what do you think? And I go, I think I don't know if he's going to direct all the, I mean, that was for me.
That was the crazy part, because I have this other issue.
This other show. You guys might have heard of it.
And I was, I think, initially just going to do the first couple episodes, and then we were going to find another director to do the rest. But after our Skype, I was like, no, I want to be with Julia on this journey. She's awesome.
Why was it so important to you that he direct all the episodes?
Well, I just felt coming into television, I needed something. Some way of creating content that was familiar and a comfort to me. And the thing that I rely on utterly is my director and that continuity. And I couldn't imagine, particularly with a piece like this, chopping it into pieces and giving each piece to someone else to care for on our behalf. It seemed strange to me. In general,
it is strange. I mean, even me, I remember that first season, and again, I had amazing directors, but the concept of just continually handing it off to someone else, translating tone in an hour and having them kind of ramp up on the character work and all of that, and then every week actors having to kind of reacclimate to a different director for 7 days and then move on to somebody else. It feels unproductive. I don't know.
It just felt like compartments. And also, I was fortunate that my husband, who's a cinematographer, had just done a television show. And just hearing, I didn't know anything about
TV. He shot the whole
TV.
Show, right?
He shot The Last Tycoon,
wow,
which was an Amazon show. So beautiful and a great show. And the director that... that did it and did the pilot and I think the finale for sure, but didn't do all of them. And that was the strange thing. A lot of the actors in that show are friends of mine, and it's the strange thing of there's a momentum that you want to build on over such a long period of time. That's, you know, it's a much longer time frame than a movie. And so I just felt we needed to have a captain. One captain.
It makes a lot of sense. Was that something that held you back from doing TV before? What was it made you finally say yes to doing TV?
No, it hasn't ever held me back. I mean, I haven't really been asked to do a lot of television, but this was not really... I just thought of it as this great story, and to have this great storyteller say, hey, I've got this cool story, and, you know... And then it just all, like, once it started to come together, it just came together like that.
Yeah.
What were the biggest challenges of pulling this together?
Well, I think, honestly, the biggest challenge personally was my schedule, because I was literally kind of wrapping and editing the third season of Mr. Robot while we were prepping for Homecoming. I remember it was so smooth. And I'm like, well, you know, every production's smooth at first, and everybody loves each other. And
everybody talks about the grind. Yeah. Oh, just wait for the grind to kick
gonna
in.
It's going to hit. And it just never did. It really never did. And, you know, just like the feeling we had up there in the panel is like the feeling on set. I mean, we were just always trying to have a good time every day we came to work, and we were all friends. We all really liked each other, and it was genuine. It was authentic. Yeah. So no challenges.
There was some, you know, challenges in trying to perform our task to the best of our abilities. Yeah. But as far as the chemistry amongst us, and Sam brought together such an incredible crew. So many people that I knew from film and my work experience that were on our crew. And it was almost like every day we just wanted to see how much harder we could make it and accomplish our goals.
And honestly, she's right. Like in terms of creatively, I think we challenged ourselves. You know, I mean, a lot of what I did ask is these long takes where we're not cutting, and it's almost like it's almost like theater. They had to do a 10-page scene. They had to know all the lines, and they had to understand the blocking, and they had to understand where the camera was going. And I mean, Julia has such a great relationship with the camera operator and the dolly grip to get a lot of those crazy moves that I always insist on. Mm-hmm. To get them to work, she has to kind of have this choreographed
dance. We had to have our little meetings. It's like, okay, that's what Sam wants. So what are you going to do? Okay. And so what am I going to do? Okay. And so, okay, let's just, okay, break.
Right.
And then we just go off and do it. And I will say this for Sam and the long takes and the long scenes, which are pretty magical, but they're daunting. And, you know, not to say I'm the seasoned, you know, I was stuffing those words into my head like you couldn't believe. But I'll tell you, Stefan James.
Oh, my God.
Boy, oh, boy. And when it really, I mean, he's always word perfect. He is ready to go. And when we would get a little ahead of schedule, and our AD, who I've also had worked with before, Peter Cohn, who's incredible, and he, you know, is so caring to everybody and what we all have to accomplish. And I remember one day he came into the makeup trailer and said, you know, listen, we're a little ahead and we might need to move some things up for tomorrow. So it could be, you know, this, or it could be this 9-page scene, you and Stefan, that would be better. and I said, you have to ask Stefan, because especially this one scene, he was really driving the scene. Not only did Stefan say, sure, but when we rehearsed it that night before, right after we wrapped, he was already off book.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with him, and he's so wonderful in the show.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, too, I mean, you're taking we've seen a lot of books turned into TV shows, but you're taking a podcast that's entirely fictional, that's so audio, that's so much about the conversations between all of those people. How did that translate to the screen for you? Was that something you were conscious of, or you just wanted to tell the story the way you wanted to tell it?
I mean, personally, one of the things, I remember when my agent brought it up to me initially, I didn't even want to listen to it like that, you know, in thinking to adapt it, because I'm like, if it's great, why mess with it? But then I binged it as a fan, and I was obsessed with it, and I loved it. And then when I binged it a second time, and I realized there were moments in the podcast that were limited by the format that you could expand upon visually and actually kind of not make it. It's not a qualitative different or in terms of whether it's better than the podcast, but it's just very different. And it's kind of like what Bobby said on the panel today, that the two things are kind of now just different creatures. And that's when I got really excited. And just to give you a small example, there's a scene in the podcast where Walter Cruz is talking about how Schreier and him, you know, kind of ran away from the facility, and they stumbled upon, or they're kind of confirm whether or not they're in Florida, and they stumble upon a retirement community. Well, in hearing, you know, Walter tell that story, you kill all the suspense, because you obviously know he gets out of it alive and everything's fine. But now, you know, in the visual format, we can actually be with those two characters as we're kind of in suspense as to what is actually going on. And then when they discover it, we're along with the ride, with them. So it's stuff like that that I remember thinking, oh, there's something here that we could really tap into visually. And then, you know, and just in terms of like, you know, the writers actually, you know, we kind of diverted a lot from the podcast. We, you know, the television show, the storyline goes in a very different direction. But just the world that we can create with the production design and the wardrobe, and, you know, and the cinematography, it's just, you know, the creative team that I had backing me on this is just amazing. And they just, you know,
I've never walked onto a set at work and been right. like,
yeah.
oh my goodness, this looks
it's just
amazing.
A whole other dimension.
I was on the set. It was fantastic.
Right.
It was,
oh, you were on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big set. It was it was just remarkable.
Yeah, she did a great
job. She did an
amazing
Anastasia job.
White, yeah.
So, and Julia, what about for you? How did you get into this character, having listened? I'm assuming you listened to the podcast.
I listened to the podcast, and as I've done many, many nights in my life as an actor, I went to sleep wishing I was Catherine Keener and wishing that I had her talent and her voice and her everything. And it really is one of those things where you just have to feel inspired in your enthusiasm that you bring to the workplace, and everything else you have to let it go because you're different. You have your different approach and your different sensibility of things. And, you know, but once you get in there and with Sam and Stefan or Bobby or Dermot, you know, whomever, it just it was like a creative playground, really. And it does get very different than the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, none of us ever wanted to copy what they did, because what they did was great. We just wanted to own it and make it something very different and unique and distinct. And I think, and honestly, you know, again, like with the visual format of it all, it really did break open some things that were limited in the podcast.
I know the podcast creators were involved as producers. What questions did you have of them as you went to sort of build out this world?
How do you sleep at night? That was my recurring question. They're such affable, you know, bouncy guys, and this is so intense and like sinister.
I know.
It's like Patrick Marber for the first time, and I was like, how did you write Closer? You're so
right.
sweet. Your wife is so nice. What, you know, how do you sleep? You know, and it was with Eli and Micah, they're always smiling.
Yeah.
And they're just like Boy Scouts.
Right.
They're ready.
And they're eager to collaborate. Yeah. And, you know, there was nothing precious about the podcast or anything like that. They were like so on board with trying to create something with us as opposed to impose anything.
Yeah.
What about narrative questions? Were there things that you wanted to explore thematically that they helped you out with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we were adapting it to the TV show, the second season of the podcast had not happened. And I really wanted to take the TV show in a different direction than what they did in the second season. They were obviously, you know, again, very open and collaborative, but they were also excited to just try something different. And when we talked about, because I really wanted to center, you know, to me, the heartbeat of this show is the relationship between Heidi and Walter. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to center the storyline, really be laser focused on that journey, on what each character does, but specifically how Heidi sort of reconciles everything by the end. So, you know, they were great to work with.
And what about working with Amazon? You mentioned your husband had a good experience. Was that something that convinced you to do this?
Yeah, and we're hoping free shipping. You know, just if we keep, you know, if we keep at
keep
it.
Saying it. Amazon, are you listening?
Yeah, no.
They're great.
They
supported us and they trusted us, I would say, is a better word, just to say, okay, we've let this team assemble.
Yeah.
And now we have complete trust and faith in what is going to take place. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And what we were doing a lot of times were crazy things.
It was pretty crazy.
And
like what?
Well, I mean, just like building that set, I mean,
yeah.
which is a little unheard of. And shooting these long one-ers with no coverage. And we're embracing that this is what the show's going to be and feel like, and to the unusual tone that we were kind of going after, where it's not just going to be like this sort of straightforward thriller, that it was going to be kind of its own unique identity. They just went along for every risk and didn't really blink, never questioned it at all.
And the thing about, I think, the half-hour drama, which somebody brought up earlier, because really that never made any sense to me. I was like, how can you be dramatic in 30 minutes?
Right.
So I could answer that on a daily basis. But I was like, how, you know, and yet under the helms of Sam Esmail, it is, as soon as it's over, it's like, oh my, are you kidding? Like, I just remember the first episode when it ended up, because I sort of forgot that it was going to ever end.
Right.
And when it was over, I truly was like, oh, this can't be happening right now.
So, weirdly, I think the reverse, because I'm watching her at the end, mm-hmm. and I'm like, what is she going to say? And even before she says anything, I'm just literally mesmerized by her face. And then she gives the answer and then walks away. And that, to me, is what...
Oh, it's so crazy. The 30-minute drama is so crazy in the best possible way.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what it's like. It's just...
I think Eli or Micah actually answered this on the panel. You know, if your story is laser-focused and very intimate, why create other storylines, B, C storylines, to fill an hour needlessly? Mm. Why not just be that laser focus on that story? And especially because we're on a streaming network, you know, you'll get to watch them all at once. There isn't this, like, painful wait between episodes.
I wanted people to have pain. I wanted people to have to wait that week and be like, I can't even. And that way it's like, it's a happy fury. That's what I was going for.
A happy fury. That'll be our next project, Julia. Happy fury
coming soon to Amazon. I love the idea too that each half hour ends on a cliffhanger. What you were talking about,
it really does. That's what Micah had said. Yeah. Just to end on really kind of a high stakes moment.
Yeah.
That's, I think, really cool.
What's really good about the way it's written is that it's all the twists and cliffhangers and reveals are all character based. There are not car chases or bombs going off or guns in each other's faces. These are just about characters and their secrets and their desires and when they reveal what they're doing to each other and relationships. That's what, when I said old school thrillers, that's what it was about, and that's what the show's about.
You are really good at talking. I want to see the show now.
Oh, wow. Did I sell it?
I can't wait to see it.
Happy Fury sold me.
And does the first season end on a cliffhanger, too?
Well, I'm not going to answer that question.
There might
Deborah,
be a car chase.
You know me? We might, yes.
But this is what I do. I ask, and then you don't answer. Yeah. We've been down this road before.
I know. It's a fun ride.
You know what's nice about my relationship with Sam? Everything I ask him, he has to answer me.
So can I get in on that?
I have that.
I need to get in on that. All right, last question, because I think we're getting the hook. Any chance you're going to show up in Mr. Robot?
Well, Rami is a friend.
They have worked together.
Yes, we have. He came to visit.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
We're going to make it happen.
Awesome. I'm keeping my phone off the hook.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.
It's great.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. We'll be back next time with another great episode. We'll be talking with the CW stars Katie Lotz and Candace Patton about their website, G-Thority. And if you like the show, I'd appreciate it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Let us know, too, who you want to hear from. What stars and producers should we invite on the show? Email us at podcasts@variety.com. See you next time.